Oh, that's right. It's time for Meet Me at the Diner. It is 76 degrees outside on January 15th. You know, when I invited Dwight Long, the city gardener here, to be with us, I had no idea that we would be in a heat wave. But Dwight, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Ann. How about yourself?
Very good, very good. Gosh, we had Charlie Barrineau, city manager Charlie Barrineau, on yesterday. He was talking about all the good things, and he did a compliment on the flowers and everything that grows in Uptown Greenwood there now. And, you know, it's always a delight to have you back here. When I called you up, I thought it would be good to talk about what to do this time of the year, but we might have passed right through that winter season.
It could have, yeah. It's gotten extremely warm. We're now in a different zone. We're 8A instead of 7B.
Does that mean we have climate warming?
We'll blame it on Al Gore.
Al Gore?
Okay. Yeah, it's his fault. But no, it's just we're heating up a little bit, and I think we're just going to go through a cycle, and at some point in the future, we're going to have this ice again.
Have an ice age here in South Carolina.
Sure, yeah. Sure. So break out to the ice skates.
Yeah. Well, you know, things do change, and you know, just with El Nino and all of that, the way the waters mm-hmm. flow and everything, that makes a difference too.
That's right. Yeah, it does. It does.
So, What are the things that you wanted to talk particularly about trees? This was the time of the year you said to talk about trees.
That's right. Well, let's say 3 years ago I would have said, okay, the best time to prune trees would be in the dormant part of the year, which is January and first part of February. Well, we're in a heat wave here, so we just still have to get in there and do it. But this is really the best time to do that. Some transplanting that needs to happen, you can do it now.
But what are the important things to be looking at for your trees as far as pruning and whatnot?
Well, I have watched, or let's say observed, a lot of improper pruning over the years. And it really is an art, I think. I mean, you've got to know the trees. You've got to know what's going to happen with what you're doing to the tree. And there is an art to it, I believe. And you're really going to prune for structure. You're going to prune for health. And what we do downtown, we're going to be pruning all year, primarily for safety. We just don't want any limbs to fall down on anybody.
Sure.
So.
Or to cover up things so you can't see.
Oh, definitely.
I would presume would be another part. Yeah.
Definitely. And I'm constantly working in the trees. You'll probably see me up in the bucket truck up in the trees from time to time. But I really enjoy pruning.
Well, what is the proper technique here?
Well, that's kind of hard to say. If you cut too much of the tree, then you're going to have a tremendous number of water sprouts. And those are just the tree is trying to get that green back that you've just cut off.
So many plants are shrubbery. I've seen them where they just cut it all the way almost back to the ground.
That's called a renewal pruning. Okay. And that is good to do on some shrubs. Some plants will take renewal pruning pretty well. And that's real hard. You want to cut it back to about, let's say, some hollies mm-hmm. that you might have as a hedge. You cut it back to, let's go to where the height could be. People don't see the mature height when they purchase the plant, and so they get in trouble real quick. Mm-hmm. And so then they're in there trying to prune, and it's really tough. So what they'll do is they will go in and we'll do a renewal pruning, which is pretty much cutting it back down to the ground, about a foot and a half from the ground, and it'll come back. Hollies are really good about doing that. Now, not all of them, but some of them, they take shearing and so forth pretty well.
Sure. Now, one of the things, though, that I do know is that when a shrub gets out so far, that it's really hard to cut it back because you have all these, no leaves or anything underneath.
Right. Well, if you let the plant do its thing, you're going to have a thicker green area in the shrub. Hmm. Now, if you go out there and you shear it, and that would be about every 2-3 months, you could go out there with some shears and you cut it and you make it look nice, well, then you've got a small amount of green area. So when you cut it, hard, cut all that green off. Well, you've got just the bare stems, and it looks terrible.
Yeah.
But they will come back.
They will come back. Okay, so this is the time of the year when you should start looking at things on your trees. Now, what about the fact with that we're in this heat wave? Is that going to affect any pruning or whatever that you might try to do now?
No, still the oaks and some of the most of the trees right now, the deciduous trees, are real easy to, as long as you prune before they start swelling, the buds start swelling, and then you're gonna be a little bit iffy right there. But it's not, still, this is the time of year to do it. It doesn't matter. We're getting warmer, so you got to do it sometime. So, and downtown, again, we prune pretty much all the time. And this year, the biggest thing that I did on the oaks downtown is get the water sprouts that had come out when we pruned some of the limbs off. Excuse me. And so we just cleaned it up on the inside and didn't do any thinning, didn't do much of major pruning, cutting limbs off. Another mistake that people do is when, just talking about oaks, a lot of people cut middle of the limb. That's not a good thing to do with an oak. It's really not a good thing to do with any kind of tree. Mm-hmm. You want to cut it back at the branch collar. And this on the radio, you can't really describe what that is, but you really don't want to cut it flush to the tree, to the trunk. You want to cut it back to the branch collar. And then you
place where it bulges out a little bit?
It does. Some trees bulge out better than others. Sometimes you can see them on crepe myrtles, sometimes you can't. But that's where you want to do it. Crepe myrtle's gonna do whatever it wants to do anyway. It's kind of hard to kill one of those, but people try.
People try.
Yeah, they do.
Well, what other things should you be doing this time of the year as far as any, mulching or fertilizing? What should be being done?
Well, the tree should be fertilized in the, let's say, early spring, that time. If you've got a tree that's close to your lawn and you fertilize your lawn, well, you've done it. You've got the trees taken care of. A new tree, you don't want to fertilize a newly planted tree. You just want to let it go. Well, it's you want the roots to grow, mm-hmm. and you're not really concerned so much about how it looks up top.
Oh, okay.
You just want that first year. You're trying to get the roots to develop. Now, I don't really fertilize anything. I mean, let's say in the tree, I just put it in the ground and let it go. But I do amend the soil just a little bit and cut a huge hole, dig a huge hole to put that tree in.
And probably a lot bigger than what most people think it needs to be.
Right. And something that I do on, let's say, like a plant that you would get from Lowe's, a tree, it's growing in that pot.
Right.
The roots are growing in circles in that pot. What I will do, and this is when it's dormant, you don't want to do this when it's actively growing, but I will take it out of the pot, and I take it down to the wash rack, and I take all the soil off of it that I can get. And then I pull out the roots, and instead of it being in, a 2-gallon pot, mm-hmm. you're going to see roots that come out, 2 or 3 feet. And so that's when I put it in the ground. And it does.
So you do a bigger hole that is like 2 or 3 feet?
You're going to, about, let's say if your pot or your root ball is a foot in diameter, you're going to go out about 3 feet. So you're going to make about a 3-foot hole.
You know, I think people don't realize how important it is for those roots to spread out underneath in the ground, right?
That's right. They're going to be shallow for the most part. Oaks are shallow, and they're going to go out. A large tree, you're looking at 1.5 times the drip line is how far out the oaks, the roots will go. So again, you don't want to put the plants too close together when you put them in the ground because they will compete with each other for nutrients.
Sure.
As you go, and water.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we are here with Dwight Long. He is the city gardener. He's a master gardener. He loves this business that he's in. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about it. Hey, if you've got a question for Dwight, don't hesitate to pick up that phone and give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We've got the greenhouse to talk about. We've got topiaries to talk about. We've got, some job opportunities, too. So you stay right with us. We'll be right back.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. I'm Ann Eller, 76 degrees outside, and we're talking about pruning, planting, fertilization, mulching, transplanting, the new greenhouse, topiaries. We got all those topics on the table here today. So I certainly hope you're enjoying it. And if you have a question for Dwight, why not give us a call? 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Well, we were talking about pruning. We were talking about transplanting. In fact, you were just telling me about transplanting a bald cypress.
That's right.
And you said you wanted to go way out. It took four of you to move it?
Yeah, we wanted to. I wanted to get as much root system as I could possibly get out of it. And we did get a fair amount. I mean, I think it's going to do well. The more roots system that you have, the better off the tree would be. But we dug it out. Now, if you're going to transplant a tree of that size, and we're talking about this was a... Actually, what I did, going back a little bit on the history of this particular tree, it came out of a container, and I put it in the back of the shop in some leaf mold, and the original tree was, it was in a 2-gallon pot, but it was 10 feet tall. So you could tell there were plenty of roots out of the, but it was in the pot is where it was. So it didn't really look that great, and I knew that if you... spread these roots out, you know, it's going to try to do some sort of recover. So I let it go 1 year to see what would happen. And a water sprout came out close to the bottom that it was it was just perfect as far as that is concerned. So I cut the rest of the tree off and left that water sprout. And so that tree is really not the original tree. But over a 2-year period, you almost can't tell where I cut the rest of the tree off. And so when we put it up on the hill, the roots grew. And I mean, the root system was just huge. And I wanted to get as much as I could because I just like the tree. And so we got out there and got about 4 or 5 foot diameter root ball out of it. But after we got through with it, there was pretty much no soil left. And as we went along, we got rid of the soil, and I think it'll do fine. If it doesn't, then so be it. That's just the way it's going to be. Sometimes that's just what you do in gardening, is just see what happens. But
this is where patience is a virtue, right?
That's one of the things in pruning. The first time you prune a tree, let's say a mature tree that hasn't been pruned in a while, you're going to have a tremendous number of water sprouts. And you're trying not to cut so much out of the tree that you make it die. I mean, you could kill it if you take too much out of some trees. So you've got to balance what you take out. And typically on a new tree, say 5-6 years old, you're going to be able to take a little bit more out. But when the tree gets older, like the trees downtown, all of those laurel oaks are probably over 40 years old or right at 40, or it could be somewhere in that neighborhood. And those are mature trees, and some of them are stressed out right now. So you take too much out of those, and then you're really going to hurt that tree. Yeah. And it's going to sit there for a little bit and not know what to do. And
it's going to mope?
It will. It will.
I kind of reminds me of the way we're talking about the trees, like the movie, the Hobbit movies, where the trees would come walking across the field and everything, and I can just see one of those trees slapping the crap out of you
for taking too much
or something.
Yeah, those are my nightmares. That's why I can't sleep at night. I just figure some tree is going to come up
and
stomp me.
You one night.
Right. But pruning is an art along with science. You've got to know what you're doing.
That's why the Master Gardeners is such a good program, isn't it?
You learn a lot through the Master Gardener program because you're getting out there with other gardeners who have some knowledge. And every gardener is not going to know. I don't know everything there is about gardening. Mm-hmm. I've got a good base, so I know what can go out into the different areas. And that kind of leads into one thing is how do you select a tree? This is another mistake that people make. You've got to do some research on that tree. You need to do a soils test. I recommend always do a soils test, and that's something you can get. The Clemson Extension can help you there. But you've got to know how big that tree is going to be. Let's say a mature tree. What is a mature tree? Mm-hmm. Mature tree could be 7, 8 years. It could be 40, 50, 60 years. They continue to grow. The larger they grow, the slower they grow.
Sure.
So when you buy a tree, you go out and looking for trees, you've got to know the size. You've got to know what kind of root system that thing's going to do. You put a river birch close to your house, you're going to lose your foundation. And it's a large tree, so you want to do a lot of research. You might have an oak. Well, I certainly wouldn't put an oak next to your house. It's going to go further away. If you want some shade in the summer, you want a deciduous tree. But still, it's a large tree. You put it away from your house. If it's anywhere close to it, you're not going to have anything growing there, for one thing, and you're going to have your foundation cracking, and you're going to have issues with your sewer lines from time to time.
Yeah.
So, especially if they're older lines.
That's right. Those roots don't stop, do they?
They don't. An oak, I can't think of the name of the street. It's Court Street over there between Inn on the Square and the bank that used to be there. Mm-hmm. You can ride up and down that street and you'll see the pavement is cracked. Well, those are the oak trees, the roots from the oak trees trying to find water. And so they're just going to go up underneath anything and everything to find it. And they get larger. It's these little roots that you see, they don't stay small all the time.
No.
They're going to get bigger. And there's a lot of pressure that it's going to put on concrete, and asphalt is easy to crack.
Sure. So these are some of the things to consider. It's a good time to be, what about mulching and all that kind of stuff? We've got 2 minutes here before we're going to hear the news, Dwight. So.
Oh, okay. Mulch is simple. You want to put 3 to 4 inches of mulch on your root system around, let's say, out to your drip line if you want to go that far out. But you don't want to put mulch up against the tree. You want to stay 3 to 4 inches off of the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And don't put any mulch there.
Okay.
Because you don't want to keep that part of the tree moist for long. It needs to stay dry. It's the basal flare or the root flare, whatever you want to call it. Basal flare is really, I think, the proper term. And that's where the tree is got kind of a pyramid shape. That's what gives it its strength.
Sure. So mulching this time of the year is a good thing to do. Now, why do you mulch?
Are you going to hold water in, keep the roots cool? Biggest thing is the roots and the weeds. I've never had any good things happen to me with keeping weeds out. They grow. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter what you do. I found that they just grow.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, we are here with Dwight Long. If you've got a question, don't hesitate to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. When we come back, we're going to be talking about more about the toperays because, actually, I think how you kind of ended up with this job is you jumped in the first year they had the toperays, and you were there in Uptown Greenwood taking care of them as a volunteer project.
That's right. And I had a pup tent that I stayed with these things all night long.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk more about that. So don't you go away, but give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. It is time for the news. We'll be right back.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We are talking about pruning, planting, fertilization, mulching, and we're going to be talking about the topiaries again, too, plus some job opportunities. So you'll want to stay tuned right here on WCRS 1450 AM. And, of course, I am talking to our city gardener, Dwight Long. And, you know, one of the things we were talking about right when we went to the end there is that, Dwight, you ended up with this job with the city because of the topiaries and just spending, you practically lived down there for that first year with the topiaries.
That's right. That was 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, I believe. And this would be the sixth year. And I started with the topiaries, or I got acquainted with them the summer before we even had done anything.
Right.
And so, but yeah, I was there a lot. I spent a lot of time. I would leave work at the nursery and then go and work on the topiaries till about 11 or 12 midnight.
Yeah.
Every day. And it was pretty interesting. And I've been with it ever since. So.
Sure.
So, I've got a little bit of experience.
You've got a little bit. Yeah, I think you've got a lot of experience because they take a lot of attention. But we did have Alan Bayan call in, and he said he met you today, and y'all were talking about red tips, and he would like a recommendation for a border shrubbery. So this ties into what you wanted to talk about, because you said you were standing there staring at a tree.
Right. One of the things that you want to do when you prune a tree is you go in with a goal. You try to figure out, what is it that I want to do with this tree? How old is the tree? And what do I want it to look like in a few years? So you have to look ahead. And so what I was doing when Alan came up, I guess it kind of looked funny. Every time I made a cut, I stepped back and looked at it from all angles and then made another cut, stepped back. And so you have to figure, you just have to visualize what it's going to be. You don't want to cut everything off.
Sure.
And then Alan had mentioned what he had with some red tips. The genus for that is Photinia. And they do get very large, and this is an example of what I'd mentioned earlier, where you need to do your homework, you need to do your research, you need to know how big that tree is going to be.
And
some shrubs really turn into trees because they get huge.
Right.
So you've got to know what it is that you want to do and do your research. You can go online, and that's where I do most of my research is online. I just search for trees and just go from there. Now, what Alan needs to do is take a look at how much space he has, mm-hmm. how much he's willing to give up, because these shrubs they don't stop. Now, you might give an example, and this is what I was going to recommend to him if he wanted something that was about 10 feet tall and 10 feet wide. That's about how large these trees will get, or the shrubs. This is a dwarf Burford holly. Now, it said, be careful with the word dwarf.
Yes, I've got some of those.
Right. You people will look at it and say, oh, dwarf, that means 3 feet. It's not going to get any bigger than 3 feet. But a dwarf Burford, if you go and get the standard Burford, you're looking at 15 to 20 feet tall if you over the long haul. And so you're going to be doing a lot of renewal pruning.
Sure.
But a dwarf Burford is going to, it's going to mature at say, 7 to 8 feet, but it's also going to be that wide. And you're planning, if you're going to create a hedge, then you're going to space them to where you don't put them too close together. Because if you lose one in the middle, you're going to have a lot of, you're going to have this big opening with some dead limbs looking on the other,
side,
either
right.
side. So you've got to be careful with that. It just, and again, Alan, this is, you just have to look at what you've got, look at how big you want it to be, and you, then there is nothing that's no maintenance other than concrete and asphalt.
So you could paint yourself some shrubbery out there.
That's right. That's right. In Phoenix. Well, when you said that, I immediately thought about Phoenix. And that's what they
concrete
do.
Concrete grass lawns,
yeah, the grant, yeah. Concrete is painted green.
Yeah.
And that's their...
Green
that's
space.
Their, right. That's their green space. There's a lot of xeriscaping there in Phoenix, except in the old part, in the north part. I'm rambling now. But you've got to do some research on what you want. There's a lot of nice shrubs out there. There's some that flower, some that don't. Some are evergreen, some are deciduous.
The things that is a problem, though, particularly if you are not from this area and maybe you've come from up north and you've moved down here and you think, well, I had up north, I had
right.
X, Y, Z, and so you think it's going to do as well down here, and they don't.
No. You have to look. This is why you've got to do your research, and this is why I mentioned the zone that we're in. We're in 8A.
Now, yes.
So if you, when you're doing your research, you're going to look for a tree that's going to be hardy to that. Now, some trees don't like the heat. So you've got to look at whether or not this tree is going to be, you want to put them in the shade. If you've got shade, you know, is it going to grow well in the shade?
Sure.
Depends on the soil type. If you got
soil
clay,
is really one of the most important things, though,
definitely.
Isn't it?
It
and
is.
I think that we don't think about the fact that all you have to do is get a sample together and you can take it over there to Clemson Extension and they'll analyze
and
it for they, you.
And you tell them what it is you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
You tell them, okay, I want to grow this particular plant in this soil type. What do I need to do? And their report will come back with... they'll make recommendations on lime. If you need to put lime in the soil, raise the pH, lower the pH, they'll make those recommendations.
And what you need to do, I remember this from some of our conversations, what you need to do 1 year isn't necessarily what you need to do the next year, correct?
That's correct.
I mean, sometimes people like put lime down every year.
Right. Now, that's where you need to, I would say, do a soils test every year.
Every year.
And you want to, as far as wanting to put lime down, you need to do it 6 months before you put it down, which is going to be in the 1st of May, which is when lime, well, you need to go back 6 months.
Okay.
And then you can determine, they can tell you whether or not you need to put it down.
Yeah. But the Clemson Extension Office, where are they located?
Oh, don't ask me that.
Well,
you know,
that right
I'm
there on University.
It's where the old Brewer High School used to be.
Yes, at 105 North University Street.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go.
The telephone number over there to call is. Do you have a telephone number there? Do you know the telephone number?
Oh no.
Okay. Uh-uh. All right. I was looking. I thought we had the telephone number on here, but I don't see it. But, you know, they are very, 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 very helpful. In fact, they're having a class on Thursday for pruning, the art and science of pruning. The cost is $20 for that. They do want you to sign up by today. So if you go call them right now, you can maybe get in. But that'll be Thursday, and that is what time? 2:30 to 4:30 on Thursday. Lots of good stuff coming up over there at the Extension office. Everything from... vegetable gardening, landscaped ornamentals, and pest management. Those are all coming up in February. And this one's a good one, producing a quality lawn. That's a toughie in today's world, isn't it?
It is. It is. And we're trying to do something different downtown, put a different grass down. But a lot of the problems that we have with weeds. But that's going to take a lot of chemicals, that the regular people can't get. It's going to so we have to be careful with that.
Absolutely. So we're talking, I hope that answered your question, Alan. If anybody else has a question, pick up that phone, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. You know, every time I sit down with Dwight, we end up talking about all these different water sports sprouts coming up in all these different directions because there's so much to talk about. But we're going to be right back. We're going to talk a little bit about the topiaries, and I promised you there's some jobs down there, so we want to talk about that too. So don't you go away. If you've got a question, like I said, give us a call, 229-7984.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood. 229-6276.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. And, you know, yesterday we talked with City Manager Charlie Barano about the greenhouse that is being built. Actually, I think they've already put the slab down, haven't they, Dwight?
We did that today. Right. So we got a floor.
Right.
I like that.
You like that? That makes that's a good start. And you're going to have and it's going to be a pretty big greenhouse, tall, because you've got to be able to accommodate, Gamecock there. That's a huge topiary.
The Gamecock and the Tiger are the two tallest, and we needed at least 15 feet clearance to do that. And so we've got the inside of the house, we've got a 16-foot roll-up door to pull those into the house with. And 16 feet on the inside is pretty tall.
That's pretty impressive.
Right, but that's just the sides. The peak is going to put it in the neighborhood of 25 feet.
Wow.
So it's a large greenhouse, 100 feet long approximately and 35 wide.
This is pretty impressive for a small town to have that major greenhouse there. What do you think about this, Dwight?
Well, it's I like it. I like it. My goal is to propagate everything that we use in the topiaries, plus propagate what we want to put downtown. We're able to grow more.
I know you started that a couple of years ago now, planting the flowers and everything. They used to buy them. Now y'all grow them there.
Right, we do grow them, and it saves us a huge amount of money.
So that's a big thing.
Definitely.
But what is the future goal of the greenhouse? You'll be able to have, I understand from talking to Charlie yesterday, you'll be able to have some tours and show them off and be able to turn the topiaries around so as they get the different sun and water and all this good stuff.
That's right. I mean, that's just part of it. You can, the topiaries, if they sit in one spot for very long, you're going to have
one side.
You're going to have one side looking better than the other. So this house gives us enough room in there that we can turn these things around.
And the other thing is they'll become actually year-round topiaries, won't they?
Part of them will, because once they come off of the square, they're pretty beat up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, growing inside of moss is not an easy thing to do. I mean, in my career, I mean, you have to learn how to grow the plants in a pot just to get them in the ground, start that. And so that's a different requirement. In the ground is a different watering.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we got topiaries. It's also different because these are not normal. These plants are, they're plants like to grow straight up. They won't grow out. They grow straight up. But they on a topiary, they'll grow out a little bit and then they'll start straight.
Sure.
Doesn't matter what kind of plant's in it. That's just the way they're going to do them.
So this is going to be pretty exciting. And, of course, since you've had so much experience with the topiaries, this is a perfect project to pull in under you.
That's right. And what I'm excited about more than anything is really growing the plants. I just like to grow the plants. I like propagation. In the greenhouse that we do have right now, that's behind the, we call it the Phoenix Warehouse. It's a hoop house on top of the hill back behind it, and it's full of plants that we've just propagated. We haven't spent a dime other than just the cost of the heat and so forth.
Wow. So you're not even buying seeds?
A lot of stuff we do. I'm getting ready to get a seed order together and get some perennial seeds in,
right,
and so that we can start growing those. I'm a little bit late, but I'll still get it done.
Tell you what, Dwight, since you have been there, Uptown Greenwood certainly has become more and more beautiful. And, you know, the work that goes into the water aspects of the topiaries and everything, it really is a work of love, I'd have to say, for the whole uptown there to pull that together.
Well, I appreciate that. The topiaries have been volunteer project up until this year.
Sure.
Everything that has been done was done with Master Gardener help, with a lot of the help from other organizations. So, and the schools are still going to be involved this year.
Sure.
It's important, I feel, to keep part of it volunteer, and we can't continue to purchase that many plants every year, and this gives us the opportunity to save plenty of money. And we've got this year will be the same topiaries that we had last year, but
sure,
the following year we're going to retire some.
Wow. Retire some of the topiaries.
Retire some of them, and we're going to start some new ones, and I think they're going to be great.
Well, that's exciting. Now, there has been, you told me that there's going to be some job opportunities with
that's
this
right.
expansion. What can you tell us about that?
Well, we're looking for somebody who can basically stay in the greenhouse, keep an eye on things in there. I'd like for that person to know what I know or more.
Okay.
I mean, I've always, in the past, when I've interviewed people, I've always looked at every person as being that person that's going to replace me. And so that's always a good thing, because you're not going to be here the whole time. But I would like for that person to have some greenhouse experience, propagation, plant and chemical knowledge, basically taking care of the plants. They've got to know the plants, and growing in the moss is a little bit different than you have growing in the soil.
Sure.
Plants react differently. They need fertilizer all the time, or a lot of the time, not necessarily all the time. But this is where the irrigation experience would be good.
Sure.
We use irrigation inside of the topiaries, and most of it is drip tubing.
Does this person need to be a master gardener or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. Okay. I'm just looking for somebody who can, who knows plants. And the rest of it, I can teach them.
That sounds great. Now, how do you apply for this job?
Well, we don't have anything online, but they can go to the cityofgreenwoodsc.com and go to the jobs link, which is in the upper right-hand corner of the page. And then you'll see an employee, a link inside of a paragraph, second paragraph down, that they can fill out the application and send it to the address that's on that page, and that would be Post Office Box 40. And we just put attention, well, topiaries, just put on the outside topiaries, and then they can get that
to you,
to us.
So you can take a look
mm-hmm.
at it.
And that would be a resume along with
the other,
and references and so forth.
Absolutely. Well, this is your opportunity, cityofgreenwoodsc.com. Look for the jobs link. You said, what, in the right-hand top?
It's the upper right-hand corner. You'll see a link for jobs.
Sure.
And that would get you where you need to be.
And then download it, fill it out, and mail it in. And you are looking forward to finding, is it, how many people jobs? Is it one or two?
There'll be a total of three.
Three, okay.
This year, since we've got a lot of... we've got a lot of things that we want to do. I would love to have three people right now. That would be two and a half.
Two and a half. Okay.
So,
all right. That sounds great.
So we need some help. And that person wouldn't necessarily, I mean, there's going to be some time where they're not doing much in there. But then there's a lot of things that we can do out on the square.
Sure. And, of course, now the topiaries this year, the topiaries are around at the different locations that they've been, like out at Wesley Commons and whatnot?
We've got some topiaries at Wesley Commons,
mm-hmm.
But we've got a lot of the smaller topiaries at the the greenhouse that we have right now.
Oh, okay.
And so they're actively growing, and we're trying to pull those things back into looking decent.
Sure.
Again, we're using the plants that are on there to propagate more. But we do have some plants coming in mid to late February, and that's when we start planting again, and that's when it gets a little bit, let's say, hectic.
Hectic and right. exciting and exciting.
That's
I mean,
right.
the topiaries have brought so much, and, of course, with the flowers and everything that are planted around, it's always such a draw for our community.
Well, I certainly appreciate it,
yeah.
And we're gonna try to maintain that level and go a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Raise that bar.
Well, I know you will, and I know it's going to be exciting. And when it gets so when is the greenhouse supposed to be done?
Well, I'm hoping it's going to be done before we take the topiaries to the schools.
Okay.
So that would be mid-February.
Mid-February. It doesn't take really long to build a greenhouse, does it really?
It depends on the weather.
Yeah, okay.
And a lot of the work has already been done. It's just an erector set right now. We're going to be getting the polycarbonate in tomorrow, which is a good thing. That's the outside of the house.
Oh, cool.
And so I like that.
So this is an exciting time in Uptown Greenwood. It certainly is good to have you here today. We talked about a lot of different aspects, but if you're looking for a job, you love plants, you love working with them, and you know a lot about them, you might ought to consider this as a job.
It'd be a great job, I guarantee you.
Great job. Well, Dwight, I know that you're excited to see the next stage of this unfolding. I know when you first started down there, they told you might not be that busy. That was, what, 3.5 years ago?
Three and a half years ago, and I hadn't stopped.
You haven't stopped. You just keep expanding more and more and more, and that is
That's
terrific.
Right. Right.
So thanks for coming out today right here and talking to us about some of the things to do. If anybody wants to call you or has any question, I guess they'll see you in Uptown Greenwood. You're always around.
I'm somewhere around, either at the City Garden, Cambridge Park, or downtown Greenwood,
yeah.
And that's where I am at most of my time right now, because it's getting time. We got to start preparing things to plant.
Absolutely. Well, you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Dwight, thanks so much for coming out today.
Yes, ma'am. I do appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for us, and I'll be back tomorrow, and tomorrow morning we'll be right here on the Isle of Ann show. Tomorrow afternoon, Councilwoman Edith Childs will be with us. She's getting ready to go to the inauguration. I'm going to see if she's going to wear her hat tomorrow afternoon. Hey, we'll be seeing you in the morning. Bye-bye, everybody.